for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 3rd, 1989. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chip Hill is the speaker of the evening. Okay, Brother Chip Hill is going to come and minister. And he's got three and a half hours till we fall out the window. You haven't got any window over there to fall out, Irma, so you're in trouble. Well, praise the Lord. It's a joy to have all that have ministered here and to have Brother Chip and to get acquainted with him and with his wife, Darlene, and for all of you to get acquainted with him. Young warriors of the kingdom. Amen. Us old warriors of the kingdom, us old battle axes, we gotta keep our battle axe sharp. Amen. And you younger ones, keep yours razor sharp. Amen. Because you've got work to do in the kingdom. Come on, Chip.
I have about 732 and a half things to say, and I don't know what to say, and I can't say it all. But I just want to tell all of you how much Darlene and I have needed you. This has been a real shot in the arm for us. We just came out of the worst year of our ministry, and quite frankly, the worst year of my life because of some problems we had with some folks and the ramifications of broken relationships and things like that. And I had all but lost my vision and desire to go on in the ministry. I didn't let go of Jesus, and I wasn't going to, but just... Yeah, that's right. That's the way I had felt. And of course, I know you don't give up, and I wasn't going to give up. But I'm saying I had felt that way. And Darlene can vouch for that. That it's been a tough year. We felt like when Glenn called us and asked us to come out here, and for me to come out and speak, that we felt like, well, God, you know, this is proof that you've got more for us to do. That sure, some of the problems we went through, I made some mistakes. And, you know, you're going to make mistakes, but praise God. You know, the Bible says that the righteous or the just man falls seven times. But what does it say next, Brother Bill? He rises up again. You know, brother, let me tell you that champions don't give up. They get up. Amen. Champions don't give up. They get up. And I told the Lord months ago, you know, we've pretty well come out of a lot of the mess we were in and the terrible stuff. But still, you know, Lord, is the anointing still there? Is the ability still there? Is the heart still there? And I want to thank Glenn and Irma for giving Darlene and me the opportunity to come, because it's been for us. I know you would say it's been for you, and it has, but it's been for us, probably more than for you. And I'm going back to Highland County, Virginia, out in the mountains, out in the Appalachian Mountains, with renewed vigor, renewed vision, desire, drive to go and do the work of the ministry. And for all the souls that'll be won, and all of the churches that'll be planted in the future, and the devils that'll be cast out and stomped on, and all of that, the Lord will lay that to your credit, because you're a part of the reason why we're going back in victory. You've been so receptive and so eager to walk in victory, and I love you, and I wish I knew all of you as well as I know some of you, you know, but you just... you just can't get it all done in this lifetime, and it's just been a real joy. I look at you and I love you with all my heart. I really do. I love you, and I love Glenn and Irma, and I just it's so good to meet people like you all, Because when Hal called and he told me that Helen had died, I started thinking, well, you know, Lord, I don't know anybody else in this neck of the woods that believes like Helen and Hal do. And of course, Helen was such the main spokesman of the two. Not that she was a usurper or anything like that. God gifted her. And she was kind of like Aaron for Moses. Hal's the Moses. But he's just not as gifted in speaking. And Helen did the speaking. And I could always call on them. And Helen had that Cambridge Bible open. Just the word says this, and the word says that, and the word says this. And Hal's sitting there, amen, preaching, Helen. But there was a real void in my life, and it's just been recently. You know, she died just last week, and I just sensed that there could be a void there for the kind of input and encouragement that I would be in need of from time to time. And I feel now like I could call out here at any time of the day or night, and I can, if I bump into a problem or something, I can call out here and say, Irma, Glenn, tell me what to do. What do you think I ought to do? Here's the situation. So you've got a son here. You've got another son, okay? And you got another daughter, because we love you, and we love all of you so much. Y'all are a blessed bunch, I'll tell you. Praise God. Amen. So thank you. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you. Amen. Champions don't give up. They get up. Amen. And that's what we'll all continue to do. You know, I began talking on, was it Thursday night? Thursday night I began talking, and I talked a little bit about growing old in righteousness. And I'd like to just encourage you folks. I had a number of you come up to me and say something to me about what that meant to you. Some people came up and said, you know, I've never heard anybody talk on that, or make it an emphasis. You know, and they say that's needed. I needed to hear that. Some women and men came up and said I needed to hear that because there's so much emphasis put on. Look at this young minister. Oh, isn't he dynamic? Or look at this woman of God teach. Isn't she dynamic? And you look at her and she's a young woman. Oh, what a future they have. But you hear very little of the encouragement that look at that great saint of God, that old saint of God. They've got a future. You know, sometimes it's easy to be swept under the rug. Swept under the rug when Darlene said, like, when you're not ready to be swept under the rug. And I never want to make anybody feel like they're ready to be swept under the rug. You've got a future. And I just want to encourage you in it. I want to maybe teach you a little bit tonight on how you can walk into all God has yet for you to do. How you can keep going strong. Not burn out. Burn on. Not wear out, but wear out the devil. Okay? Till your last breath. Till your last breath. As a matter of fact, when you die, you ought to be saying, Satan, I bound you. All my life I bound you. And you're still bound. Bye. Gone to heaven. What a way to slip out of here. Just go on, praise God. Ship out binding the devil.
Amen.
Amen. And praise in Jesus Christ, because that's who you're going to see. Just think what it's going to be like. Just think what it's going to be like when we see His face. When we finally see His face. Oh, I love Him so much. Love Him so much. Praise God. But if you're going to be the type of Christian in old age that is going to be worth anything to the Lord, you must be filled with the Spirit and the Word of God, not secular counsel, not religious counsel, Not the persuasion of witchcraft and Jezebel that gets on a lot of older folks. You've got to be free of all that garbage. And you've got to be clear-headed. You got no senility. No senility. I see nowhere in the Bible where senility, any ounce of senility is for the saints of God. It's not there. It is not there. Neither is arthritis. Neither is cancer. Neither is loss of eyesight or hearing in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm telling you one thing, you know, it is true that the members, parts of our body do wear. And so when I'm talking about, well, you know, there might be, there is, I think, the legitimate dimming of the eye and maybe of the hearing. But I'm not talking about something that's sickness and disease. I'm talking about something that shouldn't happen to you until a long ways off. I had a lady who lived in our neighborhood lived to be 105 years of age. Her granddaddy and her daddy were circuit riding Methodist ministers, back the old shouting Methodist kind, in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia. And her name was Aunt Deanie Wade. Ardenia Wade was her name, and she was one of my best buddies when I first got saved. I'd go up that old lane to Aunt Dean's house, and I'd sit down with Aunt Dean, and we'd talk Bible, and we'd talk about the Lord. And she'd sing some of those old hymns with that raspy voice of hers that was so sweet. I've even got it on cassette tape. I mean, I'll always have it. And we'd sit and we'd talk. And she said, Chip, she said, you know, ever since I was a young girl, and she got saved when she was about 8 years of age. She said, ever since I was a young girl, I have always asked the Lord that as I grow older, let me grow older with my right mind, that I never lose my mind. And you know, at 105 years of age, she still hadn't lost her mind. She hadn't lost her mind. She'd talk about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, her only Lord, and sing to Him and love Him and before she shipped out to glory. And I want to tell you that that's what's available to you, but you must be filled with the Word and Spirit of God. And you must never slack up. Don't ever let up. Never go back. I won't ever go back. I'll never let up. I'm going to get wilder for the Lord. Amen. You've got to be wild for the Lord. That's what religion will label you. That he's wild. He's nuts. But you've got to be that way. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Job. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Well, we're going to look at more than a couple of scriptures tonight. I want this to be an encouragement to all of you precious folks. Job chapter 32. Now, Job is sitting on the ash heap. Okay? And some friends come to, quote, comfort, unquote, him. Job's friends, okay? Job's comforters. And these are men who, they're very religious men. As a matter of fact, don't reject everything they say as you read Job, because a lot of the wisdom they come forth with is good wisdom for the day. But still, they weren't hitting it on target, and they weren't doing much for Job. Mostly they were rebuking him and telling him this and that, and they were messing Job's mind up. He didn't need that right then. You know, he didn't need what they were bringing. Well, there was a fourth guy, and he was a young man. His name was Elihu. And he was sitting back quietly listening. I've done this many times. I wish I had the nerve of Elihu when the time comes to speak like he did. A lot of times I'll just get up and walk out. But I've sat around where somebody's having a problem. It might be a young person or an older person, and they're having a problem. And there'll be older men or women around them giving them advice. But it's not the advice that God would give, because it's not backed by the Word. And I want to tell you, in our society today, in America, in the United States of America, one of our most precious treasures has been all but lost. Secular humanism has come in and swept the godly counsel of our seniors totally away. And I said the other night that I could count back where I live, I could count on one hand, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably can't do that anymore, the number of senior citizens that I could count on to give me the Word of God, counsel me with counsel that would be backed by the Word of God. They're not there. They've been too busy watching game shows every night. They've been too busy watching all the other garbage. They've been too busy talking on the telephone, gossiping. They've been too busy doing everything, worrying. And I can't trust them. And I don't want to be that kind when I get older. But listen to what Elihu said. Now, these three had run off at the mouth long enough. Don't ever be one who just runs off at the mouth. If you can't give the Word of God or counsel backed by the Word of God, don't run off at the mouth. Just shut up. Seems like the older you get, the more you think you have to offer. Well, you do if you have the Word in your heart, but if you don't, you better zip it up. Okay, now in Job 32, verse 6, and Elihu, the son of Barakel, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but the Buzite. Come out, you spirit of Buzite. All right, anyway. He answered these three men who should have had something worthwhile to say to Job, and he said this: I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and dared not show you my opinion. I said, days should speak. Multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, And the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. In other words, no matter what your age is, God can give you inspiration from His Spirit straight into your spirit. It doesn't matter what your age is. He's saying it doesn't matter that you're older than I am. I realize that now. And then he says in verse 9, great men or old men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. What a sad commentary on older people in Job's day. Now go over to Jeremiah chapter 5. I've preached this before. This is something the Lord has commissioned me to preach throughout my lifetime whenever He tells me to. I think last time I preached it, brother, was in a little church way out north of Eldoret. In a little church out there, I preached it. That was over a year ago. Jeremiah 5, verse 5. Jeremiah speaking, and he says, I will get me unto the great men. Now, you can look in the little Hebrew, look in another translation perhaps, and you'll find that it's meaning old men. I will get me unto the old men, or the great men, and will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Now, listen the way another translation, I think it's the Amplified Bible, would put that. I will get me unto the great men or the old men, and I will speak unto them, for they certainly have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these too have broken the yoke of God's law and burst the bonds of obedience to Him. Wherefore, a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them, and a leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. Look at the symbolism there. Satan, all the way. Look at that. A lion out of the forest. Satan goes about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. There are older people leading denominations in this country. Bishops and district superintendents. And I just well tell them to sit down and shut your mouth. You don't have anything to say. Because they're allowing homosexuals to be ordained in their denominations. Wow. I get mad. I hate religion. I want to tell you that. You look at me, if you ever see my face and you're thinking again, I want to tell you something. I hate religion. There's only one religion I like, and that's the pure kind that James talked about. Hate religion because it's a strong drink that's duped the people of God and kept them out of the fight. It's made pansies out of people that could have been men of God, men of valor, heroes. In this desperate world, the world is searching for heroes, but seems there are few. But by His mighty power, an army's emerging, and we're going forth to conquer in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We're not religious. We have a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This isn't a religion. This is a lifestyle. Amen. Okay, so now, a lion out of the forest shall slay them. I tell you, they're being slain out there like you wouldn't believe. You want to hear something, a statistic? Let's try and find this. Maryland psychologist Richard Sipe, a former Catholic priest, estimates that 40% of the United States' 57,000 Roman Catholic priests are gay. Thing about 2 years ago, didn't it, Darlene? That the priest, the holy priest, the holy father. Well, it makes me mad. You just have to forgive me for my sarcasm. Darlene gets after me sometimes, but it just makes me mad. They just found out that he was molesting boys in his church for 10 years and nobody knew it. Finally, it came out. What'd they do with him? Nothing. He was an older man. Here they are. I won't give his name. I think he's been replaced, and I don't know where he is now. But I'm telling you one thing, it just burns me up. A lion out of the forest shall slay them. And it says a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. Look at the wolves, the wolves that are coming through, just tearing apart the flock of God. And these old people that are not going to get the word of God, these people that have broken the yoke of God's law and burst the bonds of obedience to Him, they're going to be spoiled by the wolves. But the sad thing is they're being spoiled. Their poor congregations are being spoiled. And their families are being spoiled. Their cities and their neighborhoods are being spoiled. It says, and a leopard shall watch over their cities. This can only mean the principalities and powers in heavenly places that are watching over the cities of America. They've got control over the cities. Why? Because the older people that should have been standing guard as watchmen, they should have been the ones who barked when they saw the wolf coming, the thief coming. What do? They went to sleep. They broke the yoke of God's law and burst the bonds of obedience to Him. A leopard shall watch over their cities, and everyone that goes out thence shall be torn in pieces. Why? Because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. What a picture of religion in America. What a picture of the family in America. Well, praise God, it's going to change. At least I'm going to live and act and conduct myself like we can change it. And I realize it isn't going to get totally perfect till Jesus Himself comes in a blaze of glory. Praise God. And He's going to take the government upon His shoulders. He's going to change it. But we can get to work on it now, can't we? Well, I don't want to be a dumb fool who doesn't know the Word of God. I want to be somebody who grows old in righteousness. I want to be someone who grows old and comes to his grave like a shock of corn in full years. How's that say in Job 5? Look at that. Go to Job 5 with me. Let's just be encouraged in the Word of God tonight. Get a vision of seeing yourself doing mighty exploits in old age. Helen Wallace and Hal, all through the weekend, I've mentioned their names because they meant so much to me. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to do them honor. You know, people talk about other great saints of God and who maybe in life didn't receive the honor they deserved, but in death they do. Well, I just want you to know that they meant so much to me. And even at 70 or 87 years of age, Hal Wallace is still casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. And seeing them healed and getting people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he'll continue. Even though Helen's gone on to headquarters, he'll continue. Praise God. All right. Thou shalt look at Job 5:26. Oh, how can I start there? We've got to go to verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, don't despise the chastening of the Almighty. If you want to grow old in righteousness, don't despise his punishment or his chastening, his discipline. I didn't mean punishment, but his discipline. For he maketh sore and binds up and woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. Lay hold of these promises. In war, from the power of the sword. You know, the enemy's got a sword too. Lay hold of the promise that in the spiritual warfare of the future that you'll be redeemed from the sword of the enemy. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to try to smite you with the tongue. As a matter of fact, it says in Jeremiah, I believe 8:18 or 18:8, one or the other, it says the enemies of Jeremiah said, come, let us smite him with the tongue. I tell you, people can kill you with things they say about you if you let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. It's like Irma said today, you know, you just got to learn, you got to get tough, that's all. You just got to just let it roll off your shoulders like water off a duck's back. You shall be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shall you be afraid of destruction when it comes. Hallelujah. You won't be afraid of destruction when it comes. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Thou shalt, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. Demons. Praise God. For you shall be in a league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. Well, demons won't be at peace with you till Jesus comes. They're going to have to be at peace with you then because they're going to be out of the way. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. That should be our body, the tabernacle of our body, as well as our home and our church. And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. There's a key. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great. Confidence that God's got his hand on our seed, not only our natural offspring, but our spiritual offspring. We ought to be walking in this kind of confidence. We shall know that our seed shall be great, and thine offspring is the grass of the earth. Now look at verse 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Amen. And you know what the NIV says? In full vigor. Irma, Glenn, all of you. If I could remember all your names, I'd say it. But I'm telling you, Mama, you can come to your grave in full vigor. in full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Amen. Isn't that great? That's terrific. That's what God promises us. Remember the scripture we looked at in Isaiah 46:4? God says, I made you. He said, I'll carry you. I'll bear you. Praise God. Now, how are we going to get here? Go to Psalm 71. This is one of my favorite psalms. This is a psalm that I pray even now. I'm only 37, almost 30 years, 38 years of age. And I'm a young spring chicken to a lot of you. I mean, that's young, isn't it? And then I look at some 19 or 20 year old and I think, you ain't seen nothing yet, kid. How old are you, brother? No, you don't look 42. You look like you're about 35 or something. The Word of God in his bones, the Word of God in his heart kept him youthful looking. Praise God. Psalm 71. This is something I pray. Now, you need to realize something about Psalm 71. Pay close attention or you'll miss it. This psalm is the prayer of an old man. David didn't write this prayer when he was hiding from Saul. This prayer came later in his life. This psalm is the prayer of an old man, and there's a mellowness and a serenity about it which is characteristic of a long life spent with God.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let's see what David prayed. We can pray the same. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, right? Well, then, let's pray the way this man after God's own heart prayed. I'll tell you something. Before I get into the sweetness of this, I'm going to get into something a little more violent. People get mad at me. Religious folks, I scare them off. I think I scared a few off here. Probably two or three this weekend. As a matter of fact, I know I did. Religious folks, religious devils either change, repent and change, or they run off. And that's okay. Let them run. Get them, Holy Ghost. Sick them. Everywhere they go, they're going to run into the truth. And one of these days, they're going to have to bow their knee. But people get mad at me all the time because I decry false ways. Oh. I even wrote in my book about how I reduced, and I taught the church in Monterey how to reduce the efforts and the plans of the spirit of Antichrist called Baha'ism. How I reduced them to nothing but an irrelevant joke in the eyes of our community by calling down the strong man that had moved into our county to set up shop. An evil spirit of Antichrist called Baha'ism set up rule in our county, tried to, and I called him down in the name of Jesus, taught the church to do the same, and we've just crippled that thing so bad they're nothing. They're just a joke. The only ones that are left, the only Baha'i people that are left in Highland County, everybody looks at them and laughs. They're pathetic. And they're going to be pathetic because I won't let that spirit build up again. I won't let him do his thing there. And I make statements like that publicly, and it makes Christians nervous, and it makes cultists mad. But and I say that I hate every false way. But you know, David said that twice in Psalm 119. He said, Lord, because I know your precepts, because I know your word, I hate every false way. And he was a man after God's own heart. I don't hate the person in the false way. Oh, Lord God, save those poor people that are deceived. Pray for them. But I hate every false way. And I hate that principality over that false way. I hate Mormonism. I hate the Jehovah's Witness cult. I hate Baha'ism. I hate Freemasonry. The Eastern Star. I hate those things. They're false ways that are damning people. So, praise God, David was a sweet guy, but he was also a guy that hated every false way. And so are you if you've got the same heart David had. And he was a man after God's own heart. Now see, I don't need to get into that. Let's go on. Now Psalm 71. Let's read this prayer. Let's examine it a little bit. And please, go home, make this your prayer. Get your pen ready. Fern, get your pen ready. Write down some things as I show it to you. Okay? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You know what you could say there? Senility. What is senility? It's confusion. This is a prayer. We've already talked about praying some of the prayers of David, and this brother right here, Walter, he has mentioned several prayers, things today, and then Irma mentioned a few prayers of David. Well, here's one we can pray. Lord, let me never be put to senility, even in old age. You have a right to believe for a mind that is clear to the end. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Another meaning for that word save is preserve. Why can't God preserve you till your dying breath? Why do you have to, why can't you be preserved? Why can't your mind, your faculties be preserved? Pray for it. A lot of people don't, you know, Jesus says you have not because you ask not. A lot of people never think to ask for these things. They just grow old and think they've got to go the way of all flesh, and they don't have to. Pray this prayer. Be thou, Lord, my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort until I get to be 55. No, it didn't say that, did it? Unto I may continually resort. You have given commandment to save me. If God has given commandment to save you, agree with him. Don't fight it. Don't confess what the world confesses. Don't confess what the doctors confess. Confess what God says. He's given commandment to save you. Isn't that great? He's given commandment to save you. Agree with him. Get in on it with him. For you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God. See, it's got to be a personal thing. You can't serve the God of your grandmama, the God of your mom. God doesn't have any grandchildren. It's got to be a personal thing. You've got to serve Jesus Christ for yourself and know him. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. See, you go around submitting your life and your body to the ministry of a lot of doctors. Thank God for men like Doc who was here. But a lot of them out there can end up being cruel men, ruled by principalities and powers. We heard a Jewish doctor on the 700 Club one time. I can't remember his name, but he told Christians, he said, don't go to the doctor unless you absolutely have to. And if you go, make sure you can find one that's a Christian man. Darlene and I have a good Christian doctor back in Virginia. We love him. This man, we see no guile in him. You know, he's just a wonderful man. We're able to trust him, trust God through him when we have to go, which has only been when Darlene's had our two sons. Somebody just said, you just wait till you get older, though. That's why I'm teaching this. I'm not going to buy that. Don't come at me and say, wait till you get to be 73. Don't you put that curse on me. I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to keep praying David's prayer and eating wisely and drinking wisely and exercising and standing on the word and casting out devils and having deliverance on myself whenever I need it. You know, Darlene and I are always ministering deliverance to each other. I'll see something in her. I learn to recognize the warning signs, or not even the warning signs, sometimes the direct manifestation, but it's hidden to her, because when a devil gets inside you, he'll not only be inside you causing his problem, but he'll be deceiving your mind, and you won't even realize he's there. That's why it's good to have somebody, a brother or sister close to you, or a husband or a wife, and I'll come up to her and I'll say, Darlene, you think that might be a demon? She'll look. Yeah, it might be. Ha-ha, you have a demon. That's not what you do.
That's right.
Right. You don't come up and you don't condemn them and make them feel bad. Then they'll fight you and resist you. They'll side in with the demon. But what you do is you come up and say, well, come on, if she's depressed, I'll go, come on in here, let me rub your feet. I know what you women are laughing at. She told you the other day that she rubs my feet.
I do.
She does. But did she ever tell you that I rub her feet? I'll say, come in here, honey, let me massage your shoulders. Let me wash your feet, rub your feet, whatever, put cream on them. Lay there. You'll be all right. Well, let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name. Hey, darling, could this be a demon? Now, see, I'm not condemning her. I'm on her side. You got to let your mate know you're on their side.
Right.
Don't condemn them. And she'll say, you know, it might be. And I said, well, is there anybody that has hurt you that maybe you got some unforgiveness against? And she'll say, yeah. And I said, well, let's go ahead and get with it. So we'll sit there together, and I'll take her hand, and she'll say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. Boom, boom, boom. She'll name, if it's anybody that has, you know, resentment's grown in her heart, she'll forgive them. We don't need to go through the renunciation of the occult and stuff. We've already done that. And we haven't been back involved with it. So it's usually just forgiveness. And it's all right, let's get them. All right, you first demon that's bothering her that's come in the name of Jesus, I command you, what's your name? And it'll always tell me or her. It'll usually tell her mine every time. And she'll tell me, huh?
Self-pity.
Self-pity, come out in Jesus' name. All right, you next demon, what's your name? Depression, come out in Jesus' name, depression. And we'll, you know, if it's several, then finally we get in there. We say, all right, any other spirit not of God in Darlene, I command you to name yourself. It'll always tell her. It'll come up to her, float up to her mind. See, I told you that behind every voice there's a person. And that's one way we get rid of them. See, I have a hard time with deliverance ministers, people in the faith camp, or people who learned it from John Basham or Derek Prince, or that always have the pat way it's got to be done every time. This is the way it works for us. I know some ministers that would never submit their intelligence to doing it this way. But I'll tell you one thing, we're free, and we've got a better marriage than most. We're going to stay free. And it works through deliverance. Be quick to spot what you need. Be quick to spot what the problem is with your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, somebody you're close to. And help them. Don't be against them. How did I get off on that? I was on another point, but... Okay. So anyway, verse 6. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Well, I want to tell you something. Even if you didn't get saved until you were an old person, you were holding up from the womb, because if it hadn't been for God's grace on you, Satan had killed you a long time ago. You know, I always got a kick out of that scripture in Hebrews 1:14 that says that the ministering spirits are all sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. There were times I should have been killed on the highway. Some of the crowds I ran with, some of the cars that I sped up and down those mountain highways drunk. This brother knows what we're talking about. He knows those West Virginia and Western Virginia mountain roads. And I can tell you story after story of flying up and down that highway in the backseat of some ding-a-ling's car, all of us drunk out of our minds, going 85 miles per hour, getting off in the gravel and almost losing it. I mean, there's boys that die up there every year that way. A lot of killing takes place up there in cars. But, you know, God spared me. I saw friends die on the road. I saw friends die in drug overdoses. I saw things happen, and it never got near me because I was a shall-be case. God knew that I was going to accept Him. He had an angel watching me. That scripture says that God sets these angels and ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Hey, I'm not a shall-be heir of salvation anymore. I've got my salvation. Sure, it's growing in me. I'm working out that salvation with fear and trembling. I'm taking what God's done on the inside in the new birth, and it's working to the outside. It's working to the outside. It's working out to the mind and into the flesh and cleaning me up totally. But man, I got saved the 21st day of January, 1974, and I'm saved. I'm heaven bound. I'm blood bought, blood washed. Praise God. I am. And God knew that was going to happen, and He watched over me. And it says they minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. But you know something? The Bible says that I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Doesn't mean I'm shall be one day. I am now. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. So I know that angels looked over my life before I got saved. Not because of any good thing I've done or have done, but God in His sovereignty and His grace and love just reached down and grabbed me and took care of me. I was holding up from the womb. And then David prays, Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. One translation says, You are the constant theme of my praise. That's one thing that I've enjoyed about being here this weekend. Who has been the constant theme of our praise? Oh, let him always be. Let him always be. The constant theme of your praise. Now look what he says, verse 7. I am as a wonder unto many. I am as a wonder unto many. A portent. I'm a sign unto many. I'm an example unto many. This word, wonder, literally means something which clearly shows that God is at work. That's what your life should be. Something that clearly shows that God is at work. You're a wonder unto many. Be thou my strong habitation or my strong refuge. God wants to be your refuge even in old age. Then he says in verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. All the day. I tell you one thing. I had a hard time believing when Bill told me today he's 61. I had a hard time believing that. It just, you know, I tell you, when you let your mouth be filled with the praises of God and his honor all the day, there's something youthful about that. You know why? Psalm 103 verses 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, you know, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Then it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction. That's deliverance. Demons come to destroy you. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And listen, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What are those good things? Praise. That's a good thing. What is another good thing? Confessing and speaking the word of God. Another good thing. Tongues. Darlene says that praying in tongues is better than oil of Olay. It's better. Tongues. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's why you need to be praying in tongues. Husbands and wives, you ought to take hold of each other's hands every day and pray in tongues together for at least 15 minutes. Every day, you ought to do that. Darlene and I don't do that, but we should. We pray in tongues a lot at other times, but, you know, I'm telling you to do something. Don't do as I do as I say. Okay. Well, anyway, verse 9, I love, look at this prayer for you to pray, okay? Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. Guy, I can operate on a lot of my strength. You know, I can get up here and dance around and everything on Chip Hill's strength. When I go to Africa, Brother Samuel, Chip Hill's strength wanes quickly. And then I need to learn, I'm reliant on God's strength. When I get on the roads in Kenya, especially Uganda, and when I eat the food that we've gone into the huts and we've eaten some of the food, oh gosh, it's not my strength, it's God's strength. When you walk into a restroom over there and there's no toilet, but there's a hole in the ground, there's a hole in the concrete. And then you look around and there's no toilet paper. And then and when you're at the Church of Uganda guest house and they bring you a plate full of food and it isn't like you're used to in America, and there's a big piece of fat with a hair sticking out of it. This is the way it was in 84 when we were there, and the economic conditions there were terrible. But right down over the hill from the dining hall is the bathroom, and there's a stench coming right up over the hill right in the window where you're trying to eat. I mean, I'm telling you something, you're going to have to learn to go in God's strength. Like Norval Hayes said, when you go to a third world country, when you get off that airplane, you ought to get to the top of the steps, get ready to come down. You ought to get off and go, I bind you in Jesus' name. Don't wait till you get to your assignment. Just get off that plane. I bind you in Jesus' name. I'm telling you. Isn't that right, brother? Isn't that right? Yes, right. And I'm sure that if Brother Golden was here, he would say, preach it, preach it, preach it. He was telling me at the table in there yesterday that he's seen many recognition-seeking young men and boys from Bible schools. I mean, you know, not all of them that come out of Bible schools are like that, okay? But there are a lot. That's one reason they go into Bible school, is so they can get a name. He says he's had some come down there that they want to come to Belize and minister. He said he had one who seemed to be a stalwart young man. Stalwart. Strong in the Lord, ready to set the captives free. And he said by the time he got him home, he said, I had to take the whole 2 weeks and minister to him. I couldn't minister to anybody else. And neither could he. It's a trial out there, folks. I'll tell you. It's tough out there. But you've got to really be called to the foreign mission field. If you go on enthusiasm, you're going to see war and go back to the world, believe me. You'll see war. You've got to go on the call of God, and if he's called you, he's anointed you. If he hasn't anointed you, you have no business being over there, it'll kill you. And when you get over there, you need to bind the strong man, or you'll not spoil his house. That's the problem. That's why a lot of missionaries die over there, or get sick and have to come home in defeat and shame, because they don't know how to bind up the strong man. He binds them up. Well, anyway, are we having fun in Psalm 71? Amen. You know, I love just being free to just go off on a tangent over here and a tangent over there, because I know sometimes God's got something rich over there for us. And, you know, it's not too popular in religious circles to be able to do that. But that's okay. You know, they think you're crazy anyway. Just go ahead and be crazy for the Lord. It's just like back where we live. I had a woman come up, doesn't understand our church. We're different. Believe me, in a church that's been steeped in two old mainline denominations for centuries, all of a sudden a church like ours rises up, and we're called everything in the book. Believe me. I mean, they even accused me back in 1979 of being affiliated with Jim Jones. And there was one man going around saying, one of these days we're going to find all of them laying dead with Kool-Aid cups laying around. I mean, they were accusing us of these crazy things. I mean, they'll accuse you. When you're spirit-filled and doing the work of the Lord, the devil's going to start lies about you that are just not true. It's like Joseph Garlington said, Pittsburgh Covenant Church. He said that a few years ago that they were lengthening legs. You've seen that? And it got around town that they were rolling down ladies' stockings and feeling legs. I had a woman come up to me, and she said, you know, I hear that people in your church think they can fly. And then a man took off and flew into the wall. And I said, well, how far do they get in your church? another time a woman came up to me on the streets of Monterey, and she said, I hear that somebody got rolling around in your church and rolled over and bit a man on the leg. And I said, well, it wasn't actually the leg. I mean, if they want to believe dumb stuff like that, go ahead and play right into it. I tell you, the religious mind is idiotic. It's idiotic. It's demon-oppressed, sometimes possessed. Okay? Don't worry about what they say. Just go ahead and obey God. Amen? All right. Verse 10. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute him and take him. See, that's what the demons say. They like to convince you of that. As you grow in the old age, they like to convince you that God's forsaken you. And they tell each other God's forsaken you. They're dumb. They're stupid. They've got to be stupid. And I don't say that how am I trying to say it? I can't say disrespectful way, because I don't respect them. I don't say that at all in a cocky, vainglorious way. But I'm telling you, even the demons think that they're going to eventually win. They have to. See, they're under the rule of the biggest liar there ever was. That's Satan. They're believing a lie just like they're trying to get you to believe lies. For my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute, take him, for there is none to deliver him. Did you know that when some of you who came in here for deliverance this weekend came, the devil was even trying to tell you before you got here, there's none to deliver you. But look at verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually. That word continually, folks. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, it'll make you free, okay? But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more and more and more. We ain't praising the Lord enough, brother. We're not praising the Lord enough. We're not praising him enough. That's why I'm believing God for a total healing and restoration and creative miracle in my brother's throat so he can help the people of God praise God more and more in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Stand up here. There's an anointing on me to pray for that in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. He needs that. That's a weapon. That's like a weapon. You know, that is. It's a weapon. And Satan would like to take that weapon from him. Because the high praises of God bind their nobles with fetters of iron. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the voice box, the muscles, and every part of that throat that's used for singing and bringing forth voice. And I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, do a creative miracle, Lord, for your glory, in the honor and name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Bill's going to yet praise the Lord more and more. More and more. You make that your personal confession, brother. Yet more and more I will praise you. I will praise you. And you know something, Norval Hayes, I've learned a lot from so many people. I love all of them. They might not agree with me on everything, and you might not agree with them on everything, but I tell you, I've gained strength from all of them. If they're preaching Jesus and setting some people free, I love them all. And Norval Hayes has blessed me so much. He's got a violence and that just gets on me. And he said he walked the floor for, I think, something like 2 years or a long time, walked the floor fighting for his daughter who was under his roof. And she needed his faith. And he walked the floor saying, I bind those growths on my daughter's body. She had 42 ugly growths on her body. And he walked the floor. I bind you. You can't stay on my daughter. You can't stay on my daughter. I'm telling you, you get off of her in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I bind you. I bind you. You don't have any choice. You have no choice. I bind you. I bind that devil putting those growths on her body. Growths, die, I say. Die in Jesus' name. You must die. And every day, when he passed her in the hallway, he'd stop and say, Zona, stop. And he'd get his hands up. I curse these growths. I say, die in Jesus' name. And he kept that up relentlessly. He kept it up. He kept fighting. Sometimes you just got to keep fighting the devil. You got to get out there and tell him what he cannot do. You just keep going. You just keep fighting. I know. I don't care if it's the 738th day that I've been doing this. I'm going to keep doing it. I bind you. I curse you. You must die in Jesus' name. I kill you in the name of Jesus. And she got healed. One day the winds of God just over her body. And they're gone. You got to do that. And he said another time, they were in a meeting. This was like about a year or two ago. They were in a meeting, and she had some real bad throat problem or something. What was that? She had some kind of problem really coming on her strong, a physical problem. And she came to the meeting, and in the midst of the praise and worship, she didn't wait for the preacher to call for a healing line. The Spirit of God came on her, Zona, and she ran forward, and she did just like blind Bartimaeus. Sometimes you need to do like blind Bartimaeus. The religious crowd will say, shut up. The crowd that cheers you today will boo you tomorrow. The crowd that boos you today will cheer you tomorrow. Don't worry about the crowd. Please God. When they said, shut up, Bartimaeus, he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And they couldn't silence him. And that's what Zona did. She just ran up to the stage and she just began to cry out to God, and God healed her instantly. Sometimes you just gotta get, you gotta do things that are just, they're just not religious. You're not gonna get anywhere with God by just being religious. You're gonna have to be wild and bold and do whatever He says to do. And I'll tell you that, you who minister to people and love to minister to people, when God tells you to walk over to a crippled man who's been sitting in your meetings, and God says, go over there, point to him and say, stand up on your feet. Don't go pray for him. You'll miss God. If God says, command him to stand up on your feet, you're going to miss God if you go over there and lay hands on him and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal this dear brother. Oh, that's religious. It might be charismatic religion, might be faith church religion, but I'm telling you, it's religion. When you obey God, it's not religion. If God says, pray for him, pray for him. If he says, tell him, command him to stand up, command him. Don't do it any other way. If God tells you to punch him in the belly and drive out that cancer, punch him. You got to be quick. But see, I want to tell you something. You're going to have to be listening to God every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. You're going to have to be listening to God. It's not going to be something where you watch television and lay back like a pet pig in the sunshine and just have your kicks. And then all of a sudden you get in a meeting and you get in a meeting and you walk around like tall hog at the trough. And all of a sudden you're going to hear God and know what to do. You won't do it. You're going to have to be hearing God every day. Every day you're going to have to be walking with him. Even in the quiet days when there's nobody around to minister to, you need to be quick to hear God. In the name of Jesus. So anyway, golly day. Verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. It's important for us to tell people all the time about, hey, he's the answer to all your problems. It's Jesus. Don't be shy about Jesus. Let your mouth show forth his righteousness and his salvation all day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Live every day like it might be your last. You want to live your last day pleasing God, don't you? Well, you don't know the numbers of your days, so live every day like it might be your last. Now, I love this. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. It just blows my mind sometimes to run into some religious folks. I've run into them and I've asked them, are you saved? Well, I've been Sunday school superintendent for 45 years. In other words, they're saying, look how great and wonderful I am. God's interested in hearing you say, look how great and wonderful your son Jesus is, my Savior, my Lord. But they're too busy saying, look how great and wonderful I am. I run into little old ladies down at the Presbyterian church, and they're always telling me, why, I cooked 40 buckets of coleslaw for in-gathering day. 40 buckets of slaw. Look how great and wonderful I am. Well, I carried a truckload of rummage to the rummage sale. God don't want your rummage. Amen. I mean, all of these things, you know, people are always pointing at what they've done to earn the righteousness. But David says, as he's growing as an old man, he says, I make mention of your righteousness, even yours only. You're looking at a man who is righteous. Not by virtue of what he's done, but I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. He has robed me with his righteousness. That means I am in right standing with him. I am accepted in the beloved. I'm not righteous by anything I have done or ever will do. Only by the precious blood of Jesus. He has declared me to be one of his righteous ones. A just man. You're a just woman. You're a just man. You're righteous. You must declare his righteousness. That it is his righteousness that puts you that way. He has imputed his righteousness to you. Not your own, you'll never have it. The very moment you think you've got it, you've lost it all. It's what he's put on you. He's robed you in his robe of righteousness. Praise God. Now, verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and up till now, or hitherto, have I declared your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, don't forsake me until I have showed your strength unto this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. I love that. How many of you are going to start praying this? You start praying this. Say it with me. And now, when I am old and gray-headed, Lord, don't forsake me until I have showed your strength to this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. One translation says, your power to the rising generation. That means older folks, show it to the younger ones. You ought to be a reservoir of godly counsel and a channel of godly power to the younger ones behind you, coming along behind you. Amen. Oh, this is so good. Look at Psalm 92. What time is it? 9:30. We'll be out of here early tonight. Maybe. Depends on... I might come over here and punch Brother Glenn's button here in a minute, and he might... I love meetings where it can happen like that, where somebody gets finished and somebody who's just as wild gets ready to get up and go wilder. Psalm 92. This is you, folks. This is you. This is you. This is me. Look at Psalm 91 first, verse 14. Because God is speaking, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Praise God. We're going to be delivered from all demons. Therefore will I set him on high, because he has known my name. Do you know the name of the Lord tonight? He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life. Amen. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Now look over at verse 12 of chapter 92. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. They shall be full of sap. Spiritual vitality. Hey, you need to keep your sap, folks. You know, it's not just for young folks. Okay? They shall be full of sap, spiritual vitality, and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. Praise God, he is. He's upright and faithful to his promises. And we're going to be examples of that to the world. Right on to when we draw our last breath. Amen? Oh, that's so good. Darlene wanted me to teach on the mighty man tonight, but I don't think I'll be able to do that, because that would take another hour and a half. But I just want to encourage you, as you go from this place tonight or tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, you have no excuses. And one thing I've wanted to do is put something practical in your hands on how you can begin to show the Lord glory and win people to the Lord. I want to tell you again, folks, I've told you, you write your personal testimony track. Your story is for someone. You will overcome the devil in someone's life by the word of your testimony. How many of you would commit tonight by a show of hands that you're going to go home and within the next month or two, maybe sooner, you're going to get your personal testimony track written up? If you can't write one, get somebody to do it. I've written several for the people in our church. You know, they say, I just don't have the writing ability. And I'll say, well, let's sit down and I'll take a brief outline of the highlights that you want to bring out and I'll write it. And I've done that. We've run out copies, given them to them, and they are so proud. Not proud of themselves, they're just so proud to be used by Jesus. They come back to me and they say, I gave my personal testimony track to that little girl down there at the corner market. I've been wanting to say something to her for a long time, and I didn't know how to do it, but it was so easy to give her my track, and she read it. I can remember one time Darlene and I were coming back from Chincoteague, Virginia on a family vacation. We're riding down the road, and a hubcap flew off my car and rolled 100 yards out into the middle of the field, and there was a black man sitting on a tractor mowing the field in front of a big company, a big factory, and we turned around and went back, and I walked out... I walked out in the middle of the field. First thing I did is, I can't remember the details. That's right. I went over in the field, and I got the hubcap, and the Lord told me to take the track. Now, in the book, it says I took the track, because I did eventually. Got in the car, got up the road a mile. The conviction of the Holy Ghost came on me so hard, I could not go on. I turned the car around, went back, walked out there to the, got to the tractor, and I said, I had to come back. Look, I'm a Christian, and this is no accident. This hubcap, I never lose hubcaps. This hubcap rolled out right to you, 100 yards out in this field, because God has a divine appointment set up. I said, I don't know if you know Jesus, do you? And he said, no. And I could tell he wasn't religious either, so there was no resistance. And I said, well, I know you're busy. Your bosses, if they see you out here talking to me, you could get in trouble. I'd like to give you this. Read this. And he took it. And as Darlene and I were driving away, we could see him pouring over the words of that tract. Now, there was an appointment that God set up that was not lost because I was unprepared. You need to be prepared, and one of the best ways to be prepared is to get your personal testimony tract written. It'll reach somebody. It'll reach somebody. Amen. Well, we love you. I've got a couple of people I need to pray for. Brother, come up here. He came up. What's your name?
Raymond.
Raymond came up to me today. Bless his heart. I love this guy. You know, I didn't even know his name, but I've seen him around, and my heart just goes out to you. I just see a good guy in there. And he came up to me today, and he said, I missed last night. He said, I was, because of maybe something you were doing, or maybe you were busy, whatever. You weren't. Well, for some reason, Raymond wasn't here to get in that prayer line and get that kingdom commando resolve and mentality. And he came up to me today, and he said, I want that. And, you know, I said, well, wait till the night, till the anointing is strong on me, and I'll pray for you. And so you're going to receive it right now, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I appreciate the heart that you've given Raymond. Lord, you've got a future and a hope for him. And Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, he wants to not lead a mundane life, a life of mediocrity. He wants to lead a life that's pleasing to you and exciting with the exploits of God. The Bible says, they who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They shall take action. And I'm asking you, Lord God, to impart to my brother that kingdom commando mentality and resolve and determination and boldness that he needs to be a man of action from this day forward. To win souls, to cast out devils, to get people baptized in the Holy Spirit, to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to put that in him right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There it is. It's coming all over him. The Holy Ghost is working on him right now. I can feel him. Beautiful. Got it? Praise God by faith. Brother, I haven't had a chance to really talk to you again, and I'm sorry, but I want to tell you that when you were playing the music up there this evening, and then the other day, and then the other day when we prayed for you, and I've learned that the physical attacks that you put on your life, and I just want to tell you I love you so much. I mean, God's just given me an overwhelming love for you, and I just felt that I just wanted to wrap my arms around you. And just, I don't even know what to pray. Because we've prayed. We've come against devils. And I'm believing you're healed. But as I looked at you, I just saw the preciousness of your spirit in the sight of God. He loves you so much, brother. He is just so pleased with you. You've got such a spirit, a good spirit. You've got an excellent spirit. I just don't sense guile in you. I don't see any ambition. I don't see any striving for power or pride. I don't see anything like that. I just see a brother who just loves Jesus. And I see one who many times in the middle of the night has had fear of dying. Fear that maybe I'm not strong enough to get what I need to keep going. I've seen one who has been assailed by fear. And I'm not saying you have fear now. But I've just in my spirit, I've seen some of your battlings in the midnight hour. And it hasn't been fun. It's not fun when your physical body is under attack and I don't know how accurate I am. I'm not trying to be accurate. I'm just trying to tell you what I feel in my heart. But I just tell you, brother, I love you and God loves you and these people love you. And there's just something about you that when I see you, my heart just breaks. It breaks because I love you. I just love you. And I want to put my arms around you. And I want to pray for you or pray in tongues or just love you. God is going to spare you. God is going to get you through. You're going to be all right. You are going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You've got much to do. God's gifted you. He's gifted you with ability to play that instrument, but the best thing He's gifted you with is a heart that is so sincere and genuine and compassion. You know, Jesus was moved with compassion and healed the sick. And I feel like you've got a compassion for people. And God wants you to begin to minister to them out of that compassion. Hold your hands out here to Him, would you, some of you? I want my brother to come. Because I just know you've got a deep love for him. And I know Bill has. And I know others of you have. But I want these two men, Bill. I want us to hug him. Now, on a football field, they have a huddle. Well, in the body of Christ, we have what we call a family huggle. And let's huggle him. And love him. Oh, Lord, we love him. We love Robert, Lord. Jeez. We love him. Jeez. Lord God, wrap your arms around him, Lord God. And love him. Jeez. Love him. We're not going to let the devil have him. We're not going to let the devil have him. We're not going to let the enemy take him, resist him, hold him down. He belongs to the body of Christ. He's ours.
Yeah.
He's ours, and he'll be around for many years,
yeah,
serving our King with us.
Yeah.
Love him, Lord. Love him.
Jesus.
We love him, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to do a creative miracle.
Yeah.
If there's been any damage to his nerves or any part of his body because of the medicine he's had to take, Lord God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to just restore that which the canker worm, the caterpillar, the locust, and the palmer worm has taken in Jesus' name. Father, we're in a day of restoration. And we believe you're going to restore health.
Yes.
And yes, I'm asking you, Jesus, to restore my brother's health.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Yes. Give him supernatural energy, Lord. Let him learn to walk in your strength.
Every part of his body that's been wearing out and dying, grown out the fullness in Jesus' name.
What is the hoary head? Crown of glory? If it be found in the way of righteousness, that amounts to a hill of beans if you're not saved. It's just a sign that you're going to soon be dead and be in hell. But if you're saved, that gray head is a crown of glory. And what does it signify? Wisdom, strength, praise God, maturity. What are you to be? A reservoir of what? Of wisdom and power to the younger generation and those around you. Is God finished with you?
No.
Will He ever be finished with you?
No.
Do you have vision for going out now?
Yes.
Amen. Go to it. Amen. We love you.
Yes.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.